America, and to all of our listeners all around the world, you are listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo DiNolfo and Patrick Mifflin. Chris Elogi will be joining us a little later, around 8:30-ish. It's around 8:06 by the time we're recording this, so we'll let him in when he gets here. But, yeah, so it's November 1st. Holy crap. We are literally just, what, like...
a year away from the election? Well, a little bit over a year.
Yeah, and we're also like 8 weeks away from Christmas. Wow, the year flew by.
It really did.
Yeah.
It felt like the longest year in history and the shortest at the same time.
Well, it ain't over yet. I mean, I'm sure there's another 8 weeks of stupidity left.
What happened this week? Well, amongst other things, we got the impeachment news. It's now official, folks. They have actually formalized it. The process, it's now no longer just an inquiry. They are actually going through with this now. So, yeah, that's going to be fun to see.
Yeah.
Also, the same week that BlizzCon is starting up, BlizzCon actually started today. We'll probably be talking about it more on day zero.
Yeah.
Gotta admit, it wasn't quite the shit show I thought it was going to be. There are definitely protesters outside the Civic Center. You know, dressed up as Winnie the Pooh, shouting Free Hong Kong, all that stuff. And then Blizzard decides to reveal Overwatch 2 and reveal that it actually has a campaign.
Yeah. And Diablo 4.
And Diablo 4. God damn it, Blizzard. Stop making me want to like you again.
Yeah.
I don't need what they got.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, other than that, you know, Halloween came and went. It actually rained like crazy down here, so nothing really happened. But really anything that you need to know about right now is basically look out your window because the world is kind of on fire.
Yeah.
As we are speaking, as I am speaking right now, there are protests and uprisings happening in Chile, in Lebanon, in Hong Kong, in Iraq, in just everywhere.
Do you think this is the weekend that we finally see protesters start to maybe use those guillotines they're bringing to the protests?
Maybe. Chile in particular is looking like it's going down the... It's looking like their current leader is trying to be the new Pinochet. Because he's called in freaking hardcore military repression. All that shit. But anyway. So other than that, you know, we've also got entertainment stuff. We got some new stuff from HBO. We got the new trailer for Netflix's The Witcher series. And believe me, once you look at it, you'll go, yeah, that is definitely The Witcher, all right. Boobs ahoy. But obviously we got some other stuff that we'll be talking about, and we'll be getting to that. But first, as always, Bill, what have you been up to this week?
So I've been doing a lot of the same stuff that I've been doing the past few weeks. Keeping busy, taking care of Mom now she's back from surgery, so that's been interesting.
How'd that go?
Surgery itself went well. The recovery is, you know, bang in the ass.
But, a pace.
Yeah. Oh. Take a couple of weeks at least before she's properly on her feet again.
Yeah.
Apart that's from good. That, Yeah, it's been really windy today, and we have a fence behind in the yard. At least we did.
So now it's in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Or in the neighbor's 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 yard.
Yeah. So, yeah, the wind was blowing pretty damn hard. Yeah, I'm not sure what the idea is with this kind of weather, but Mother Nature, would you like stop, please?
Really? Please stop beasting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not enough that California is still on fire. So, you know. But you know that state catches fire every year, and
yeah,
PG&E did it again. So that's nice. But yeah, apart from that, well, still playing PC Building Simulator.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm getting some very jobs involving overclocking and figuring out how to, get the clock speed you want without making the CPU explode. Which is always a good thing, because yeah, then you have to pay for it, and that's not a yeah. Then you get no profit if that happens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and plus they just launched on Monday they released the 1.5 update, which added a bunch of new parts and new stuff like that. They added Halloween decor for the workshop, which was kind of cool, and it broke everything. So Wednesday morning they released the patch to the patch, which mostly fixed everything, which tells me that somebody over there in the UK did not sleep Tuesday night. So yeah, that's there's still a couple of issues that are niggling, and I'll probably point them out on the forums, because there used to be a thing where when you were shopping, if you clicked on an item, you get a description of it, but now that doesn't happen anymore. So, and that was very helpful, because if you were shopping for cases, it was helpful to know like how big it was and whether you can actually stick a radiator in there and actually get it to fit. To compensate, I've just kind of been looking up the cases on Google and finding the actual manufacturer spec pages for it. And it's like, okay, I shouldn't have to do this, but it's kind of cool that they match up. So that's kind of neat. And apart from that, not a whole heck of a lot. Just trying to stay warm because, it's Canada and it's getting cold.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pat, what about you?
I'm still completely glued to the X-Men relaunch.
Yeah.
Still doing a bunch of my writing that's been inspired by it. And I think I've kind of jumped over the level of production that would make it fan fiction. And I almost wonder if I need to start looking for an artist to work with, because this is taking on a life of its own very quickly.
Damn.
But other than that, not much else to report. I've been, hockey season's been going pretty well. Still kind of all over the place with my musical selections. Yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, as for me, I am still playing Cold Steel 3. And guess what? I'm in Crossbell now.
Nice.
Yeah, so for those of you who played Cold Steel 2, you know basically what's been going down in Crossbell, which is that the Erebonian Empire basically invaded and took it over. So... yeah, they totally fucking focus on that during this part of the game.
This week on the world's most one-sided fist fights.
Yeah. basically, because as I said, the basic premise of Cold Steel 3 is that, Rain has graduated from Thor's and now he's an instructor at the branch campus and leaves. And much as like what happened when he was just a student, they go out on field assignments. And this one just so happens to take place in Crossbell. Here's the thing. I talked about how in the beginning, you know, this new Class 7 is basically just three people other than Ring. There's Altina, which some of you who played Cold Steel 2, you know her as Black Rabbit. She was the sort of like Milliam, except like exact opposite in personality in just about every way possible. She's actually one of the students this time around. There is Kurt, who is one of the Vandemar family. You may know him as he's the younger brother of Oliver's bodyguard. Let's see. And then there's Yuna. Yuna is from Crossbell. She was originally part of the she was originally training for the Crossbell Police Academy until they fucking decided to invade and they shut down the whole thing. So, as you can imagine, she isn't really taking all this very well.
No.
Yuna is actually like, okay, so at the second part, in the epilogue of Cold Steel 2, you may remember there's that part where, you temporarily, take on, two of the SSS, you know, Lloyd and, Nia, I think her name is. Up to that point, there's a thing where they end up they were evacuating the civilians from the city when the Republic of Calvard decided to counter invade, and there was that one point where that airship was in danger of crushing these three pink-haired siblings. And Reen ends up stopping it with Valdemar, you know, the giant robot he does. Yeah, Yuna was the oldest of that trio. And, she's got mixed feelings about the whole thing, as you can imagine. Oh, and you also find out what happened to all the SSS people at this point. Those of you who know about the Crossbell and have played the Crossbell Arc games have probably heard of Michelin, which is like a theme park that's built on the southern side of Crossbell, like on an island.
Yeah.
Basically, the Imperial Army is imprisoning all of the SSS on Michelin. with a couple of key exceptions. Tio, for example, is still working as the chief of police, I guess. And Randy is actually one of the instructors at the new branch campus. There is a part where, Ouroboros shows up and they decide they're going to have one of their little experiments in Crossbell. Right around the time that the government inspection team decides to show up, which is headed by both, Prince Oliver himself, as well as Princess Elise. Just put the cherry on top, Reen's sister is also with them as well. Once they have this fight with a magic knight that they bring into function, Juna basically just breaks down and it screams, what did we do to you? Why did you have to invade us and drag us into your stupid war with Calvard? Why are you imprisoning the one people we consider our heroes? Please give it back. And then she kind of goes catatonic for the rest of that part of the arc. Yeah. I got to admit, at this point, this is the first time in the Cold Steel series where they are basically admitting that, yeah, the whole system that's set up in Erebonia is really fucked. And that it really is kind of holding back the whole country from progressing and moving forward. Oh, yeah, they also reveal...
And they start talking about that kind of way back in Trails SC.
Yeah. Oh, and they all... Yeah, and of course, I think it was... Because I never actually finished Trails SC. Because it's a long fucking game.
Yeah, it's there's a lot going on there.
Does Osborne show up in that one, or is it in the Crossbell arc that he first shows up?
I think he shows up. I don't think he makes a huge appearance.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you do during this game, one of your first things you do is one of the first exercises you do is you go visit Hamel. Hmm. You know what Hamel is?
Yes.
Hamel is basically the reason that Erebonia ended up invading Liberal.
Yep. And the big reason why most of Trails SC happened.
Yeah. It also is when you realize what actually went down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically a bunch of nobles from Erebonia just went and hired a bunch of mercenaries to just straight up slaughter everyone and then burn it to the ground. And then they use that as pretext to invade Liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah! Ah! Light reading this is not.
Not for the faint of heart.
Hell no. But yeah. And goddamn, that shit is heavy enough for a game on its own, but I'm just in chapter 2 right now. So, yeah, what else after that? Oh, yeah, light novels. Guess what I discovered at the used bookstore this week? The first 3 volumes of the Tokyopop translation of Slayers.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And when I say that, I mean, yes, the original light novels. For those of you who don't know, Tokyopop, while they were still around, well, technically they're around now, but as a Disney subsidiary, they took it upon themselves to start translating prose, and one of the first projects they tackled was the original Slayers novels. They ended up, I believe, the first 6 or 7 of them. But, yeah, it's a pretty kind of amazing because I used to have the first one. I don't know what happened to it, but goddamn, this shit takes me back. You know, back when Tokyopop was still a thing.
Foundational shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now obviously light novels are much more prevalent now. Back then, they were damn near unknown. Like, the concept was almost completely unknown.
Yeah, it was kind of nice that way, too, in a sense.
Yeah.
It was more personal, I feel. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't overrun with isekai shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got that. Oh yeah, and I also gave blood yesterday, but that wasn't anything major. Yeah, because you know Halloween, and occasionally they'll have blood drives on Halloween. And I was like, fuck it,
it hurts.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck it, I ain't got anything else to do today.
Yeah, I'm not gonna miss it.
So. Yeah, and I get free cookies at the end, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are they actually good over there?
They serve their purpose.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Keep you from passing out.
Yeah. Replenishing your blood sugar. Yeah, and they were pumpkin-shaped.
Of course they were.
They were also pumpkin-flavored. That's another thing. All right. So, anybody got anything else they would like to add before we move on? All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Randon's Random Factoid. And you know what? I decided what would be fun if we did another bit of food trivia this time around.
Okay.
So you guys may remember way back when I first started this show, one of the first random factoids I put out was specifically about Sparta, nation of Sparta. And you may remember that that was specifically what they ate.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that episode the other day.
Yeah. So one of the key staples of the Spartan diet, specifically for those who were out in the battlefield, was something called melazomos, or translated to English, the black soup, which was a staple dish that was made up of pig's blood, pork, vinegar, and salt. Vinegar was basically added so that the blood wouldn't clot. And basically, this is what they ate for rations out on the field. Usually, they'd eat it with like some dates and some cheese, and if they could find something they could rustle up, they'd eat it that. But primarily, it was that. For a long time, I've been wanting to find like what would be the closest like analog to that we could find in the modern world. Because blood soups are actually still a thing in several parts of the world. Poland, for example, they have something called Czernina, which is made with duck's blood. In Sweden, they have something called Zvarsapa, which is made with the blood of geese. Then, of course, you've got the various blood sausages that exist, like that exist. I don't know why I accented it that way. That was weird. The various blood sausages that you can get, like black pudding, which is a thing that's if you're from the UK or related areas, you know what black pudding is. But I did finally find something that is actually almost the same thing. Like, it is legit, like, almost the exact same thing that the ancient Spartans would eat. The only difference is that it contains one thing that the ancient Spartans did not have access to, and that's because it was on the other side of the world and nobody had gotten there yet. And would it surprise you to know that this particular dish comes from the Philippines? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the classic Filipino staple, Ginigawan, also known as Filipino chocolate, because the people from the Philippines are smug assholes, apparently. But yes, it is literally a stew that is made from pork offal, which includes, you know, lungs, kidneys, intestines, ears, hearts, snouts. Then simmered in a rich, spicy gravy slash sauce made of pig's blood, garlic, chili peppers, and vinegar. Yes! Now, I don't want to, like, be putting down on Filipino food. Filipino food is actually pretty amazing, especially if you love noodles. Holy crap, they've got so many awesome noodle dishes. But they also have stuff like this. And funny enough, I kind of wish Dan Reb was here because I want to know if he's ever actually had this before. But yeah, it is. I have talked to people who've actually had it before, and they say there's this weird thing that happens because a lot of times you'll get it served to you and they won't tell you what it is. They'll just say, "Hey, try this." And you know, whether or not they'll then, you know, turn to one of their friends and go, hey, watch this, is, you know, it's neither here nor there. And then you'll taste it. And see, the thing is, it actually tastes really good. Like, it's very reminiscent of, like, a bowl of chili. You know, it's spicy, it's savory, it's, you know, very thick, and it's kind of like a, you know, it's a stew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you'll be like, you know, and the thing is, they actually serve it, like, sealing Abba finger chili on top, which is that little green strip you see in the picture. So it looks good. And you'll taste it, and you'll say, man, this is good. What is this? And they'll tell you, it's a stew we made out of a bunch of pig organs and blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's usually two reactions to that. And yeah. one of them is, check, please.
Yeah. and the other is somebody who's Filipino, and they just keep eating it because it's delicious. Actually, one of the neat things about Filipino cuisine is they're one of the real masters of what we call nose-to-tail cooking. They don't waste any part of the animal if they can. That's why you'll also get stuff like, you know, like grilled pig heads and stuff like that. Yeah, Dinuguan. And it's actually, here's the thing. There's actually regional variations of this stuff. Well, they'll use it stuff like batuan fruits or bagnet slices that makes it nice and crispy, banana blossoms, tamarind leaves, chicken gizzards, goat intestines, sugarcane vinegar, oregano, all that stuff. They'll even make a vegetarian version that uses red beans and tofu.
Okay.
Which, I don't know why that seems to kind of... Doesn't that sound like it kind of defeats the purpose?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the primary thickener of this stew is the coagulated blood.
Yeah, don't think that's really vegetarian.
Yeah, Well, basically what is that they then add in corn flour afterwards to thicken it up so it has this consistency. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, getting along. It is delicious. Just don't ask too many questions about what's in it. And that's been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now we want to welcome to the show Chris Elogi. He's finally with us. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah. All right. What have you been up to this week, Chris?
It's starting to get fucking cold out now.
Yeah, it's same thing here.
Halloween was the day where the bottom fell out.
Yep.
Very windy. I could just hear, you know, the foundation kind of creaking a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And I looked up. There was a warning for winds up to 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, it's a good thing I'm not out there.
Yeah.
I think it rained earlier, and then, like, wind chills in, like, in the 20s. So
mm-hmm.
Right now it says wind chills at 33.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now it's pants time.
Yeah.
No more fucking around with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So today was the first time I wore pants since the tail end of winter this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of that cold where tons of people just go out in their normal clothes, and they're like,
and immediately regret it.
Like, wow, it's cold out. It's like, you don't look at the weather before you leave, don't you?
No.
They're just like, I'm just going to go out in my skin tight pants and t-shirts or shorts. It's like, oh, you guys are dumbasses. But yeah, the weather's so far at least nice enough. There's no snow on the forecast just yet. That was a possibility, I guess, for yesterday with how mm-hmm. cold it was, but it didn't happen. But yeah, See, not really watched too much. I've been kind of watching some older Giant Bomb content, watching their Mario Party Party series, which is them playing 50-turn Mario Parties.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be watching Mario Party 5 up here in a bit, but the first four, those games are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Playing 50 turns makes that obvious.
Yeah.
As you kind of see how quickly it starts repeating games when it really shouldn't the first time you're playing them, that sort of stuff. But, yeah, game-wise, I've been doing a lot of streaming. Trying to see if I can pull up a list of what I've been doing since we skipped Day Zero. But yeah, I have been streaming a lot. Sunday was, yeah, The Outer Worlds, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, Sunday was Medieval, which is a fun game.
Yeah, it is very, very 90s.
Yeah, it's very tough. It's very tough in a way that modern games aren't, where it's like you can go through levels and can't get to secret areas because you don't have the item that you unlock later on.
Yeah.
That you have to come back. Like the Crash Bandicoot games did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where they have secret paths. Like, you're not coming back here until way later in the game mm-hmm. if you're trying to get everything. But still has it plays better. Yeah, lots of items. I had played a decent amount of the original when I got it on PS3. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew going in it wasn't necessarily like a greatest game or anything, but it's a mm-hmm. it's a solid game.
It's very much one of those games from the PS1 era that was like sort of the second tier.
Yeah.
That sort of mid tier that is kind of the reason why the PlayStation was so awesome.
Yeah.
Because there was a market for that.
Yeah, and it was that kind of weird. It's not really scary. It's more just spooky Halloween themed kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sort of the novelty of, you know, Fallout fails, you can just pull your arm off and use that as a weapon kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely see in this remake, like, what it looked like as a PS1 game. Because, like, the first boss you fight is literally made out of, like, stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Stained Glass Demon. That very much looks like, this looks like the sort of thing you'd make as a PS1 game to be like, ooh, look at all the shiny polygons.
Yeah.
We can make out of this
character. A lot of that going on back in the
yeah.
day.
Yeah. Because that's all we had back then.
Yeah, it's like, hey, look
and
what
it made
do.
Us happy.
That
damn
sort of thing
children sucks. With your gradients and your fucking FMV.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Let's see, what else did I play? I did some Evilland. Oh, no, wait. What was that? Crap, I lost track of time. Nope. Yeah, the Evilland was the Saturday stream where I played that. That's a pretty cool game, the way it works. Let's see. Did a stream I called Spookin' with Smash Pad, played some horror stuff, started with Soma, and then was too dumb to get to the scary parts.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very beginning, you have to find this code to get into the actual office. And I could not find the code to save my life.
Mm.
So I was like, well, we'll chalk this as a loss and move on to Alien Isolation, mm-hmm. which is actually pretty spooky. I didn't get to the part with the alien, because they keep that hidden pretty well
mm-hmm.
For a while, kind of playing it slow like the original movie did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got to plenty of bits with people that were still left on the station, kind of going nuts. Like I died at the end and kind of was like about an hour or so in. It's like, all right, we'll move on and play some Rocket League at the end to kind of de-stress. The nice thing I did is I figured out a way to make it work so I could have the lights off but not be just a dark nothingness for the camera feeds. Mm-hmm. So I had this little like camping lantern that I just, it you pull the lid up and the light turns on. So I kind of had that sit next to me so I could have some light on me, but still have it in dark for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we played Luigi's Mansion 3.
Oh, yeah. For good things.
Yeah, it's really quite good. Takes kind of the best of the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
The second one I liked, but it felt like it had too much content. Mm. You just kind of went to each of the, like, houses or whatever they were. You kind of just did the same thing over and over again with maybe a little bit of new stuff. But here it's kind of it's a big hotel, which everybody that goes to this, that gets invited to this hotel is just really stupid.
Because
mm-hmm. They invite Luigi and whoever he wants to bring.
Yeah.
So he brings Mario, brings Peach, and the Toads go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Peach brings way too much luggage. And you notice right away, like, the people that they're handling their stay are all wearing masks. It's like, oh, these seem like people that are hiding something. And turns out they were ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who invites them in sort of the middle of the night, I think, the mansion, the hotel is kind of all sparkly gold, all that sort of stuff, turns mm-hmm. to darkness. And you find out that, like in A Link Between Worlds, they've trapped everybody else in paintings, mm. or picture frames, at least. King Boo has been let loose because they got the EGAD before your crew got there. And so they let loose all of his ghosts.
So they invited Luigi there.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they knew him as
the ghost.
It
worked so well for them the first two times.
Yeah.
Well, these are new people. And, yeah, they know Luigi is the weird guy that somehow catches all the ghosts. And so they're trying to get revenge on him. And so they bring him to this hotel. And, of course, things go awry. He gets down to the basement instead of getting captured in the painting. And finds the garage that's down there and happens to stumble upon Egad's car, which has the poltergust in it. Which is the vacuum cleaner you use to catch ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of doing your stuff, you know, sucking up everything. There's lots of physics in here, so you can kind of run into objects and push them over. Not explicitly, but you can kind of just run into them enough that the physics take over and just knocks it over. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. But I'd say the one issue I have with it is the control scheme sucks. So you have, like, different modes for the vacuum cleaner. There's the flash. You have blowing in and blowing out and sucking in. You also have a, like, kind of black light mm-hmm. that can show, like, spectral objects that are around. You can use that to bring stuff out of the photos, out of the mm-hmm. pictures that have, like, money or people in them, whatever. And there's also one I just got, which is this plunger you shoot out.
Mm.
That essentially lets you, like, pull objects with it. He usually uses it to slam an object out. Usually it's, like, stuff that's in the way that you can't move normally. That sort of stuff. And all this stuff, you want to control with the right stick to aim.
Mm-hmm.
But you activate them by holding down one of the face buttons. And so it's just gets to be very awkward where you're just like, why don't you just have this be a mode for this thing and I can swap between them? Maybe use the D-pad for that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Something like that. And it kind of just creates a situation where I have to do dumb things to do what I want at times. They don't have any options, really. There's one that you can turn on that it doesn't lock your position when you're moving around, so you can kind of like normally you would want to like get into a position to like suck in a bunch of objects and just kind of strafe left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But you can turn that off so that you can just move and point in the direction that you're facing, which makes it a little bit better, but it also just makes it weird when you're trying to, you know, specifically clean out areas and stuff like that. And so, yeah, there's also like next to no options for customizing the experience. So if you want no way of like remapping buttons or anything like that, I don't think there's even any like audio options either. It's just like gyro, sensitivity. I think you can change how the right stick works, where it stays horizontal you're aiming, or you can be omnidirectional for that kind of stuff. And I think brightness is the other option. That's it. And so, let's see, the EGAD's big tool is a virtual boy called the Virtual Boo. And so the interface for that stuff is all black and red, like a virtual boy kind of stuff. So that's sort of the bit of nostalgia that they added in there. But yeah, I've played about 2 or 3 hours. The saving kind of sucks too. You can't just save. It also saves whenever you exit a door. But if you're exiting a bunch of doors, it doesn't save. Because it's, they even tell you this as like EGAD explains this to you, and like, what the fuck are you doing, people? Just let me save, because when I come back to play, it offers you three options for the saves it has. It's like the most recent one, autosave, the one before that, and it's like a story checkpoint. It's usually like an hour or two in the past. I'm like, what the fuck is that even for? I guess maybe you fuck something up, I guess, but you can't really fuck it up in Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah.
I've also gotten Guigi, which is where a lot of the puzzle stuff comes in to play. And yeah, this game is basically a Metroid game. Because you get new abilities.
Well, I mean, the original was also...
And they kind of amped it up here.
Oh.
Because now you get Guigi, and there's like, oh, that's what all those fucking grates are for that I kept seeing. Because you just stand there, and he kind of sinks into it. And it's a very disgusting character. Because you see him, like, squeezed in between bars, and you just hear, like, the goo... gooiness of him like squirming through it. It's like, oh, this is just disgusting. Which I guess fits the kind of Halloween vibe of the game. Just have one disgusting character and then there's Luigi. But yeah, that game's pretty good. Yeah, there's a lot of time you spend just like, once I figured out like you could pull these like vending machines over, I was like, oh shit, there's a lot of shit I've been passing up, not really understanding what I could use to the plungers on. Because they don't stick to very many objects, so I ended up passing a lot of stuff initially, and I came back and was like, oh shit, there's a lot more ways to get around than I thought there was. Because you get the map, get kind of a mini-map, you can see like secret paths hidden around there. And yeah, this game, Luigi has to deal with like all of his phobias at once. Because I had some paths like, oh, he's going to be crawling along this ledge. It's kind of busted up. So he's fear of heights, fear of stress, of bats, of spiders. Like all this stuff happens at once. It's like, man, it sucks to be Luigi. But he has to be the hero in this game, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's been, for the most part, that's been it. I've been playing more Return of the Overdon. PS4. I've got about half of the Fates solved. So that's been pretty good. I've kind of been using a little bit of a guide. There's a good guide on Steam that's just hints. So you go to the specific area. It's like, you've seen this character before, or you might know who these people are from a specific one of the earlier Fates you've seen, like that kind of thing. Or it's not outright telling you anything. It's just like, you probably should think a little bit more carefully about what you're seeing here. That kind of thing, which is the kind of guide I really like for this kind of game. Where it can kind of just give you the nudge that you need to figure stuff out. But yeah, that's been kind of it.
All right. Well then, by the way, you talked about how it was getting cold and over there down there in Ohio.
Yeah.
So Halloween, we actually had a high of around, I think it was like 80.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it was by the time night time had come?
What's that?
Are y'all ready for this? Mm. 35 degrees.
Yeah.
That is a 50 degree drop in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday we had a low of one.
It's one right now.
Yeah. God damn. All right. Well, okay. So now then, as always, we start off the show proper. And as with the show proper, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And our asshole of the week is the new owners of Deadspin and that whole family of websites and publications. Because the new owners have basically told them that they need to stick to sports. Because there was an article that they published about the bad new ads that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
So they put up new ads that were very much like audio or autoplay, mm-hmm. video and audio kind of stuff that nobody really likes anymore.
Nope.
Especially a lot of browsers.
People even use anymore.
Like, yeah. Because all the browsers basically disable or mute them by default.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the annoying aspect of them can't be forced onto you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ran this this article on Deadspin, Kotaku, and maybe some of the other sites on whatever they're calling the Gawker stuff now. But basically, saying like, hey, if you don't like these ads, here are the people you should let know about that.
Yeah.
And the owners of, and it's called Geo Media,
mm-hmm.
Is what the overall company is, did not like that. Mm-hmm. Had them removed without any editorial's consent, and disabled, or like gave all the groups like the warning, like, hey, knock this off.
Mm.
Which, you know, always works on the internet. You tell people, you can't complain about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else just shuts up, right? yeah, that's, and so, like, part of this, they sent a memo out to staff, for Deadspin that they should stick to sports because they claimed that those were their best, articles.
Mm-hmm.
As far as views and all that, which they knew 100% was not the case. Like, most of their best stuff are their politics and
mm-hmm.
cultural stuff. So they sort of rebelled against that, and then they fired the EIC for Deadspin.
Yeah.
Which is always great to do.
Yeah.
And so what they did in response is they took all their banner spots for highlighting articles and put all non-sports articles on there.
Yeah.
The remaining people. Hmm. And then after he was fired, pretty much most of the rest of the staff quit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Basically standing in solidarity with their EIC.
Yeah.
Their previous EIC quit in August. That was initially, I think, when Geo Media started taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, let's see, those people are run by Univision sold the unit to private equity firm Great Hill Partners, which appointed former Forbes.com's CEO Jim Spanfeller as its new chief executive.
Mm-hmm.
If you know Forbes, they have a lot of their content are like user-generated blogs now.
Mm-hmm.
So huge surprise that the guy comes in to Deadspin and doesn't think the writers are worth as much as they think they are.
Yeah.
And, of course, they resigned, and I believe the Gizmodo Media Group issued this statement. Today, a number of our colleagues at Deadspin resigned from their positions from the outset. Or no, wait. Oh, the union. Okay. From the outset, CEO Jim Spanfeller has worked to undermine a successful site by curtailing its most well-read coverage because it makes him personally uncomfortable. It's not what journalism looks like, and it's not what editorial independence looks like. Stick to sports is and always been a thinly veiled euphemism for don't speak truth to power. In addition to being bad business, Spanfeller's actions are morally reprehensible. GMT Union stands with our current and former Despin colleagues, condemns Jim Spanpeller in the strongest possible terms. How GL Media responded to all this? They resigned and we're sorry that they couldn't work within this incredibly broad coverage mandate. We're excited about Deadspin's future and we'll have some important updates in the coming days. Which is basically saying, like, you people are worthless anyway. We'll find people to work on the cheap. We'll do just fine without you, which, sure. That's always worked, too. I wouldn't be surprised if these people start up their own new site. It's basically Deadspin, but with a new name.
Yeah.
And see much of that audience move over.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they were one of the better sports sites that also wasn't just a sports site. Especially compared to places like Barstool Sports, which is kind of a shitty place, especially with the head of their group, I think it's Dave Portnoy, was basically like cackling on his Twitter feed at the news of Deadspin people leaving, because he's that kind of shitty person.
Yeah,
he's also been very outspoken about being against unions. So, yeah, great situation all around for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. As a reader who like occasionally goes to Kotaku and, you know, Jalopnik and all that stuff, well, all those sites which basically have been doing this kind of ads, it's fucking pain in the ass. I mean, it's really a bad user experience. And it's even worse on like sites like Kotaku, where you actually have to like pay attention to what articles are actually articles and the others that are ads.
Because
sometimes they're mixed into each other.
Yeah. And especially now, just like the way sites try to counteract ad blockers, where they just refuse to let you even use the site. Or they take you to a different part of the site. You're like, hey, you can sign up for this thing. It's like, no, just let me use your site, and if I like it, you know, I will pay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like those that are like, you can't use the site at all. It's like, all right, great. I'll find another place for this article. For this topic or whatever. And there's those sites that just find their own way to add in the ads. It also gets weird when it's like, oh, somehow the ads load in way faster than the rest of the content.
Yeah, I swear. We are basically watching the slow death of independent media as we know it, and it's sad.
Well, what we're seeing is the death of mass media.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, corporate-owned media.
Yeah.
And they're basically buying up everything they desperately can to stay afloat. But now we get to our heroes of the week. And guess what who our heroes of the week are, folks? It's the fans at Game 7 of the World Series.
Game 5.
Yeah. I don't do baseball.
Yeah.
At Game 5 of the World Series. You see, and we'll be talking about this later on, but basically the leader of ISIS was announced to have been killed this week. And, you know, President Trump was all thinking like, oh man, I'm going to go out in public and I'm going to get a king's welcome. Everybody's going to love me. I'm going to say how awesome I am because I killed the head of ISIS. And so he decides, hey, me and some of my senator friends, we're going to go and watch Game 5 of the World Series. Then when the Jumbotron, you know, put the...
And they started introducing, like, military groups and such.
Yeah, and everybody was like, yay, our troops, woohoo! Because, you know, that's what you do at a baseball game. And then they showed President Trump on the Jumbotron, and then suddenly the whole goddamn stadium was just drowned in boos.
And chants of lock him up.
Yep. Lock him up. people holding signs behind home plate saying impeach Trump. And
yeah, there's a big sign. People were hanging off of one of the balconies in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Said, lock him up.
Yeah. There's also that one lady who tried to flash the camera for breast cancer, but that's another thing. But and yeah, you basically
could watch. It was a veterans for impeachment banner behind home plate.
Oh, yeah. And you could basically watch the president's expression in real time as it slowly dawns on him that, oh, wait, they're booing me.
Now they're saying boo ump.
But yeah, so that killed that illusion real fucking quick.
Yeah, and I think they left somewhere in the middle of the game.
Yeah, they left, I think it was around the seventh inning or the eighth inning, something like that.
But yeah, the person that threw out the first pitch was Jose Andres.
Uh-huh.
The Spanish-born chef and Washington restaurateur who is also known for doing a lot of work in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria hit there.
He's what they call the Global Kitchen Initiative, I think it's called, or something like that.
World Central Kitchen.
Yeah, it's the charity he does where he provides food to disaster relief people.
He's done that out of Trump Hotel.
Yep.
That was in Washington. But yeah. It was a good – yeah, because if you didn't know, Washington, D.C. is heavily Democrats.
Yep. There's a reason why the Republicans have done everything they possibly can to make sure that D.C. never attains statehood.
Yeah. Say here it's 4% of residents voted for Trump because it's heavily black area.
Yeah.
So basically the majority of the Republicans are in and around Congress and the federal government there.
Right. So, and then I think, you know, for those who know, the Nationals won the World Series, for those who are wondering. And I think it was the sports people came to interact some of the fans, and you had a bunch of drunken fans basically saying, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was sweet. That was amazing. But obviously that isn't the only Heroes of the Week, because we've also got some medical heroes. Scientists have now developed a new FDA-approved drug that can treat the most common mutation for cystic fibrosis.
Yep, I think I say 90% of people should be able to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see, what is it called? Yeah, cystic fibrosis is a progressive genetic disorder that results in a dysfunctional protein called CFTR that transports chloride and water across cell membranes. Mm-hmm. Patients with cystic fibrosis have thick mucus that clogs the lungs, leads to infections, inflammation, ultimately respiratory failure. Additional symptoms include decreased sweating, gastrointestinal upset, poor growth and infertility, and more than 30,000 people suffer from CF in the U.S., 70,000 worldwide, according to Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Mm-hmm. And roughly 90% of patients with CF have at least one F508DL mutation that causes their illness. So they approved Trikafta, T-R-I-K-A-F-T-A, on Monday. It's the first triple combination therapy available to treat patients with the most common cystic fibrosis mutation. Mm. Yeah, let's see. The drug's approval is making a novel treatment available to most cystic fibrosis patients, including adolescents who previously had no options, and giving others in the cystic fibrosis community access to an additional effective therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's manufactured by Vertex Pharmaceuticals. Helps effective CFTR protein in patients with one or two mutations function more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, proven patients 12 years and older.
Mm. All right.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome.
It's not as I say. It's inspirational. I couldn't have even thought of this 30 years ago. It's not a cure, but it's the closest thing we have. Mm. Tell people to deal with the issues.
Yep. All right. Well then, Now we got to start the proper show proper, and our first story of the night for the proper show proper, it's the big story this week. On Thursday, the House of Representatives officially voted to formalize the impeachment inquiry process. So it's not just an regular inquiry anymore. They have officially started the machine.
Yep. Yeah, and so the GOP cannot bellyache anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, let's see, it was 232 to 196 in favor of the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Only two Democrats voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Jeff Van Drew in New Jersey and Colin Peterson in Minnesota. Let's see, Justin Amash of Michigan, the independent, voted mm-hmm. with Democrats. So, hey, yeah, it lays out ground rules for the impeachment process, including how much time Republican committee leaders will get to question witnesses, guidelines on how Republicans can call their own witnesses, and process for the White House to respond to congressional inquiries, mm-hmm. and the official impeachment and the overall impeachment process. An attempt to finally get the White House to cooperate with their investigations, the resolution would actually give President Donald Trump more rights mm-hmm. if he and his staff cooperate with congressional subpoenas, but would take some of those rights away if the White House continues to not comply with subpoenas.
Yep.
So yeah.
The ball is now rolling. They're going to start calling witnesses. The president is actually going to be able to have his defense team involved now. Hell, yep. He could actually defend himself if he wanted to. Please do that. Please
do.
It'll make amazing television. It really will. Or if not that, at least give it to Giuliani. Just please. It'll make all of this so much easier. The impeachment is now official. The impeachment process is now official. We're going to see where this goes now in the coming weeks. And this is probably going to end up stretching well into next year. So... prepare yourselves, folks.
Yeah, but as long as it winds up before the election, then that means that he can't run.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, with that out of the way, we got the next story. Another big vote that the House of Representatives decided to hold. The House voted to officially recognize the Armenian genocide as an actual genocide.
Yep. They had two measures they passed. One was for for sanctions against mm-hmm. Turkey over the shit they're doing right now.
Yep. They're in the midst of attempting to commit a second genocide, this one against the Kurds.
Yeah. They approved a resolution that would commemorate the Armenian genocide through official recognition and remembrance
mm-hmm.
of the killing of 1.5 million Armenians by the Ottoman Empire from 1915 to 1923
mm-hmm.
During World War I.
Yep. That's right.
Which is big news for all the Armenian immigrants that came over here
mm-hmm.
And elsewhere around the world.
Yeah.
Because it's been a thing that's been not exactly recognized as such by many people in the government.
Yeah, because for those who don't know, Turkey has for a long time actively campaigned to make sure that the Armenian genocide is not recognized as such. In fact, within Turkey itself, you can actually be arrested for talking about it. And that was before Erdogan, might I add.
Yeah, it's kind of a Saudi Arabia situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like we do so much business and such with them.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like people don't want to bite the hand that feeds them.
Yep. Probably the one big controversy that comes out of this is the fact that Representative Ilhan Omar decided to vote as present instead of one way or the other. And people are kind of wondering why exactly.
Yeah.
I honestly have no idea. Maybe it's got something to do with her constituency. I don't know. But anyway. And then, of course, the other big story of the week, or at least what Trump wanted to be the big story of the week. It was announced this week that the leader of, well, the now ex-leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was killed in apparently via his own suicide vest. And he apparently took some children with him because, you know, he was a total prick.
Yeah.
And so Trump announced it. He got, like, really fucking graphic with it.
Yeah.
In ways that even the most hawkish of Americans were like, dude, really?
Yeah, like saying he was whimpering, crying, and screaming in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Being chased by dogs and soldiers.
Yeah.
And stuff. It's like, you know, you don't have to go to that detail, man.
Yeah.
Just say it got done.
I mean, obviously the dogs who chased him down are the bestest boys, but... Yeah,
even they got dragged into this shit.
Even the poor dogs got dragged into this shit.
So we're going to skip ahead a little bit where the dumb shit he said during this whole press conference. Because you can tell when he was on his... on his script, and when he moved off it, especially came when they did the Q&A stuff. I'm going to pull it up here. This is all from one response.
Mm.
Let's see. Okay, let's see. They're talking about questions, sir, just to pin down the timing a little bit better here. You got back to the White House around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Did you immediately go to the Situation Room? President, well, I knew all about this for 3 days. Question, yes, sir. And he said, yeah, we thought for 3 days this is what was going to happen. It was actually, look, nobody was even hurt. Our canine, as they call, I call it a dog, a beautiful dog, a talented dog,
God damn it.
Injured and brought back. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about here? But we had no soldier injured, and they did a lot of shooting, and they did a lot of blasting, even not going through the front door. You know, you would think you would go through the door. If you're a normal person, you say, knock,
God
knock,
damn it.
Come in. The fact is that they blasted their way into the house and a very heavy wall, and it took them literally seconds. By the time those things went off, they had a beautiful big hole. They ran in and got everybody by surprise. Unbelievably brilliant as fighters. I can't imagine there could be anybody better. And these, as you know, are our top operations people.
Okay, you know what? I'm starting to not think that he's senile. I think he's high.
Beautiful big hole. Oh, dear God.
Let's see. He said a beautiful dog.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful hole.
But, yeah. And
also,
then,
there's the whole thing with the what he was doing while this was happening. Because there was the stage photo that was supposed to be like, oh, here's Trump in the... in his conference room.
Yeah, and they specifically did that to try and compare to the photo that was taken.
Take a look at exactly involved.
When Obama was the Obama administration, when bin Laden's death happened, where, you know, they were actually in the Situation Room actually working.
Yeah, but then people looked at the data that goes with those photos.
Yeah. Well, this one you could actually tell was staged because none of the fucking computers were plugged in.
Yeah. But also people looked at the data and the picture itself. It's like, this is like an hour after this thing happened.
Yeah.
When people knew he was at the golf course. And so, like, it's not the biggest deal, but it's like, you know, this just makes you look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Forcing these people to set up this picture to make it look like you were actively involved. They even said, like, they managed to accomplish this in spite of him. Because some of the people that were involved in getting the intel for this were Kurds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did to them a few weeks ago?
Yep.
They still helped, in spite of that, get them the info and all this to pull this off. So it's like, this all happened in spite of the shit you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then he also decided during this to claim that he... warned people about Osama bin Laden in a book he wrote, or yeah, his book that came out in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Demanded that they should stop him because he was going to do something big, which is not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
He had a book. There's like a passing, it says here.
It's literally like a paragraph.
The America We Deserve mentioned bin Laden once, but it did not call for bin Laden to be killed or warn that he could perpetuate a major attack if he were not killed. A separate section of the book says U.S. is in danger of a major terrorist attack that would make the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center look minor in comparison, but did not predict that bin Laden or al-Qaeda would be the perpetrator of this attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything, there's no basis for anything he says to be true. And also he downplayed the operation that took down bin Laden.
Yeah.
So, of course, because everything Obama did sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything Trump does is awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah, and see, he thought this was going to be like his bin Laden moment. Like I said, all right, this is when I'm really going to be, people are going to take me seriously. And then he goes to game five of the World Series. By this point, the news was already out in the ether, by the way. Everyone yeah. already knew. And he still got fucking booed into oblivion.
Yeah, which was like, oh, they have no respect for me. It's like, yeah, no shit. But also, there was a one bit where he was talking about, it's like, oh, they've taken out a bunch of other terrorists that nobody's ever heard of and all this stuff. It's like, man, you're throwing your people under the bus too.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're not the big name people that people have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's all important work.
Yeah. By the way, the Nationals actually are going to the White House by invitation.
We'll see how many go.
Yeah, and those of you do go, could one of you just take the risk and just punch him in the gut just once? Like, it doesn't even have to be that hard. Just something.
Well, set up on the White House lawn. Get your pitcher to, throw a ball at him. See if
it's like, hey, Trump, let's see. Can you hit a home run? And, you know, you challenge him. He's like, well, of course I can. The best is home runs because you know how he fucking thinks. And then just throw the goddamn thing in his head. Yeah. Or better yet, just throw it at his nuts. That'll work.
Mm.
Granted, it's not a very big target, but... Yeah, anyway. Okay, so, next up. California House Rep Katie Hill was forced to resign. Well, I say forced to resign. She resigned this week over some allegations of improper, you know, sexual activity with her staff, which, okay, that's legit. You shouldn't mess around with your staff. There's like power dynamics and ethics involved. Yeah. And all of this really started was because her bitch of an ex-husband basically used revenge porn.
Yeah. Was basically leaking that to the right-wing media.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's just like, okay, there's a reason why she doesn't want to be with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she started her letter with, like, with a broken heart today that I announced my resignation from Congress. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but I believe it's the best thing for my constituents, my community, and our country. And yeah, this was a seat that they flipped from Republican to Democrat, so...
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to do some work for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Not have it be like a tainted thing, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, so...
And awful. She even calls out the husband in her letter.
Yeah, it's like, says, hey,
this
asshole.
Is what needs to happen so that the good people who supported me will no longer be subjected to the pain inflicted by my abusive husband and the brutality of hateful political operatives. She needs to happily provide a platform to a monster who is driving a smear campaign built around cyber exploitation.
Yeah, because assholes like the Daily Wire and Breitbart were 100% complicit in this shit.
Yep.
Because they have no goddamn ethics, like at all.
Yeah, and you know that she has a number of checks against her as far as like people in Congress who have to resign.
So mm-hmm.
She's a woman. She's not straight. She is... from California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, she has a different set of standards compared to – who's the vape guy? as campaign finance fraud.
Fuck, I cannot remember.
But yeah, he's still around. Obviously, Trump is still around, who's harassed or assaulted dozens of women.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. It's like there's very much different standards held to most of the men in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're in the GOP, compared to what the women have to go through.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not excusing like the things she's done, but that's just calling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Even fucking Matt Gaetz supports her.
Yeah, like that should be your wake-up call right fucking there.
And he says, this is just absurd. The only person who seems to have a gripe is Katie Hill's soon-to-be ex, who among us would look perfect if every ex leaked every photo/text.
Mm-hmm.
Katie isn't being investigated by ethics or maligned because she hurt anyone. It's because she is different. I served on armed services with Katie, and while we frequently disagree on substance, mm-hmm. she's always well-prepared, focused, and thoughtful.
Mm.
So it's like, you get somebody that like that that can support you in this,
mm-hmm.
you know that she's not in the wrong.
Yeah.
For resigning. Just to make the terrible things her ex-husband is doing stop.
And then suddenly you have to ask yourself, holy shit, what skeletons does Matt Gaetz have in his closet?
Well, he's Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Next up. Oregon Representative Greg Walden will not run for re-election in 2020. I think that's another Republican that stepped down.
Yeah, he's the top Republican on the House Energy and Commerce Committee.
Yeah, there's been like 18 Republicans that have stepped down so far, haven't they?
Stepped down or opted not to rerun again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he feels confident he could earn the support of his district voters for another term. But I guess he says, but I also know that for me, the time has come to pursue new challenges mm-hmm. and opportunities, which probably means somebody's got a job for him in the White House or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cause that would be the new challenge and opportunity that's bigger than what he was doing.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, damn, that was all right. Next up, we got more Brexit news.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's been delayed again. They've now extended it into January 31st, 2020. And on top of that, it's now official. They're going to be holding a new election December 12th.
Yep.
Oh boy, that is going to be a fucking war zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that that Brexit is like the top issue.
Yeah. I have a feeling a lot of careers are going to be destroyed with this election.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fucking reputations are never going to recover.
Yeah, I do know John Bercow is stepping down.
Well, yeah, but that was beforehand. Yeah, we already knew that.
But yeah, that's like the one guy you know in the MPs.
Yeah.
Other than Ed Balls.
Yeah.
Who's known for trying to search for his name on Twitter and accidentally tweeting Ed Balls.
Yeah. Bercow, for those who don't know, is the guy who's always going, order, order, in the chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's
very
the thing.
Dramatic guy.
Yeah. He's also, here's something you probably don't know. He's also a lifelong Tory. Yeah. But even he is, like, not going to take any of Johnson's shit.
Yeah, they've very much in Parliament been against Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because his first votes, like, people yelling at, like, not a good start, Boris.
Nope. Oh, well. But, yeah, so we're going to see how all that goes.
Yep.
God damn, it's going to be a bloodbath, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway. And next one, I think this one is just fucking karma, really.
Yes.
Murray Energy, which is one of the biggest Trump supporters in the coal industry.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They just filed for bankruptcy. Chapter 11.
Yeah, and he's also known because John Oliver
Did a nice like a whole show on him.
On the coal industry and specifically Murray Energy.
Yeah.
Then they filed suit against him, and that eventually got dismissed.
And apparently Oliver's in good company there because they filed suit against a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically sue anybody that criticizes them.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they have filed for Chapter 11 on Tuesday in, I think, southwestern Ohio, where they're headquartered.
Chapter 11 is like actual bankruptcy.
Yeah, there's also, what's the other one, a Chapter 7, which is just regular restructuring.
Yeah.
Chapter 11 is like, you are fucked.
It seems like it is restructuring for them. Yeah, it's the press release they linked to here. It's titled, Murray Energy Holdings Company enters into restructuring support agreement. Members of Ad Hoc Lender Group and files Chapter 11 to access $350 million in new money dip financing.
Oh, so in other words, they're out of fucking money.
Mm.
Yeah.
To pay. See, that's still bad, though.
Yeah.
All their retirement people, too. Mm. You know, which is good, like holding people's retirement funds hostage.
Always a great idea.
Because, of course, he'd be that kind of person to make that kind of dick move.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Yeah, so karma. It's also showing you, again, coal is dead.
Basically.
Like, I mean, at this point, it's up there with...
It's actually dead, and it's also, as a concept, is dead. Dying off.
It's basically, like, up there with, like, fucking cable television and buggy whips. It's... Slowly, it's now, like, at death's door now.
Mm.
Yeah, it's much cheaper to do solar energy.
Solar and wind, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the technology now has evolved to the point where it's cheaper and doesn't require as much resources to do. So
constant management.
Mm-hmm. Also, not nearly as fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of y'all ever had any family members who were miners, but goddamn, it is like one of the top 10 most dangerous jobs in America.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Was
it the Chilean miners that got trapped?
Yeah.
Coal miners?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's basically like 10,000 ways that job can kill you.
Yeah.
I want to say there's been like so much coal mining in like Oklahoma that they have earthquakes now.
Yeah. Well, that was also fracking, too.
That's it, yeah. But it's like, yeah, a lot of that mining stuff doesn't always turn out well.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of failed coal, you guys remember Don Blankenship?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Family Guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the guy who was going up against Mitch McConnell.
The most lifeless ads you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a fucking Tim and Eric sketch come to life, going on and on about China people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, he's decided he's going to run for president.
As a third party.
Good fucking luck.
Okay, so that's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you can't get the Senate seats, obviously president's next thing you go for.
Yeah.
He released a statement Thursday blasting the two-party system, saying Thursday's impeachment vote, which was almost entirely along party lines, is evidence Democrats and Republicans seek to damage each other versus doing what is best for America. The party line votes makes clear that the House members are not thinking for themselves, nor about our country. Instead, members of Congress vote as if they were a herd of sheep, with Democrat Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Republican leader Steve Scalise barking at their heels like border collies.
Okay.
Yep.
That's old man, young and close.
Mm-hmm. That's the neither one wants me, so they're obviously irrelevant
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And yeah, he's going to He's not going anywhere with this.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. And next up in failures, Ivanka Trump.
Yes, she tried to
tweet out a quote from Thomas Jefferson as a gotcha in support of her father, mm-hmm. you know, after the news that the impeachment was now being formalized.
Yeah,
it only served to basically get her trolled because people started showing even more Jefferson quotes that are directly in contrary in direction and in effect to hers.
Hmm.
Yeah, the quote she tweeted out, surrounded by enemies and spies catching and perverting every word that falls from my lips or flows from my pen and inventing where facts fail them. Which was a quote that he wrote because word had gotten out that he liked to fuck his slaves.
Yeah. right.
Something that actually happened. And
yes, we know actually
about.
Happened.
Yeah.
So he was very paranoid at that point.
Yeah, about something he was 100% guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which got pointed out. But also people tweeted, let's see, this guy Ryan Knight. When the speech condemns a free press, you're hearing the words of a tyrant. Thomas Jefferson says mm-hmm. your father is a tyrant, Ivanka. Yep. Let's see, Jefferson also supported taxing the rich at, quote, geometrically higher rates. And the rest of us, which sounds like a great idea, and I'm glad you agree.
That's true, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the Senior Counsel of the Brennan Center's Justice Program.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted that out. Let's see. Television comic book writer Daniel Kibblesmith mm-hmm. tweeted Ivanka's Trump post from March 18th, 2014, where she said, in order to succeed, your desire for success should be greater than your fear of failure.
Which was a quote Bill from Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Yep.
He's posts a screenshot saying something's kind of changed. and writer Rachel Joy Laris brought up several ironies in quoting this. Says, it's interesting Ivanka picked this example because the thing Jefferson's enemies were accusing of him of, fathering a child with a slave, was absolutely something he did. Six times, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Jefferson was bemoaning being called out for something he actually did.
Mm.
Professor and journalist David Rothkopp pointed to a couple things in his reply to Ivanka. So Ivanka, a couple things. A, Jefferson worked his whole life to ensure the president was not above the law. B, Jefferson was the first top official to call for the impeachment of a president, George Washington, mm-hmm. for being too close to a foreign nation when he approved the Jay Treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, writer and actor Tara Dublin joined in on Nett's tweets with a GIF saying, drag her. Some good stuff going on there to show her that maybe don't take things out of context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I love that everything that they're doing is just blowing up in their face at this point.
Yeah. At this point, the wheels are rolling and you can't. There is no way to hit the brakes.
No.
Anyway, next up, the NCAA has announced that they're looking for ways to allow athletes to finally fucking profit from their likenesses for ads and merchandise.
Yep. And this is not because they finally found some goodwill in their hearts to do this. It's because the California law
mm-hmm.
That will go into effect in 2023
yep.
Would allow athletes to be able to get paid for their use of their image and name and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other states decided to do the same, start working on their own laws because they obviously don't want California colleges to be recruiting all the best players.
Yeah.
For football, basketball, anything.
Yeah.
And so it was like, well, we can save ourselves a lot of money in the long term. Fighting court battles by just doing this ourselves. Yeah. And so, yeah, the NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously on Tuesday to clear the way for amateur athletes to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the only thing left is kind of to figure out exactly how that's all going to work.
Yep.
Yeah, much work still needs to be
done. By the way, you know who's against this idea?
Mm. Who's that?
Tim Tebow.
Yeah, because he comes from wealth.
Yeah.
He didn't need the money.
Nope.
So he figures everybody else doesn't need it.
Yeah. No. Also, he's a talentless fucking hack, so.
Yeah, but he looks nice.
Yeah. And he prays. So that makes him good for the youth. But anyway, next up, Google, in their all-seeming quest to devour everything before them, officially acquired Fitbit for $2.1 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot more data they can get on people.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That's all your health data.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fitness data, but
what are you, yeah,
how long you've been running, that kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Sleep tracking, meal tracking.
Yep.
You actually have to tell them.
Sleep that. Tracking, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tracking.
Although Google is already so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like mostly a way to kind of bolster their Android smartwatch OS
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah, because it kind of needs it.
Yep. Yeah.
I say by working closely with Fitbit's team of experts
mm-hmm.
and bringing together the best AI, software, and hardware, we can help spur innovation in wearables and build products to benefit even more people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's true.
Bolster what they call Wear OS.
Yeah. That's,
which is a weird name.
Used to be Android.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great name because there are two different ways to spell wear.
Yeah.
And other alternates if you pronounce it differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Always good to be nice and clear about your brands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of being nice and clear about your brands, ahead of the 2020 election, Twitter has announced that they will officially ban all political ads.
Hey, that's...
Hey, they're doing
something. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't put political posts. It just means you can't actually put any actual political advertisements on the site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody will just go to Facebook because they're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, people are conservatives are mad that they can't manipulate people as easily as they can on Facebook.
Which really should then have them ask, should then, it's like, okay, so it's literally only the fucking Republicans that lie constantly in their ads. That should be a moment for self-reflection, but they don't fucking do it.
Yeah, even Democrats actually use that to their advantage to make the point.
Mm-hmm.
I think AOC ran an ad on Facebook claiming that like Mark Zuckerberg supports the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like stuff like that, and it's like they can't stop him, apparently.
Nope. Because if you're a politician, you can say anything you want on Facebook.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. And he basically, Jack Dorsey says, while internet advertising is incredibly powerful and very effective, for mm-hmm. commercial advertisers, that power brings significant risks to politics, where it can be used to influence votes, mm-hmm. to affect the lives of millions. Let's see, where's the next part? This is complex stuff. Anyone who says that the answer is simple hasn't thought about the nuances and downstream challenges. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone can say that we are not doing what we believe or we haven't thought hard about these issues.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, yeah. They're at least thinking about it and made a smart move.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see. Trump's campaign manager called Twitter's change a, quote, very dumb decision. This is yet another attempt to silence conservatives since Twitter knows President Trump has the most sophisticated online program ever.
God damn it. They just fucking can't let up, can they?
No, everything's about promotion. No.
Yeah. God fucking damn it.
Joe Biden says it's unfortunate for the campaign. Wait, the presidential campaign for former Vice President Joe Biden says it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. The companies would think the only option was to completely ban political ads. When faced with a choice between ad dollars and the integrity of our democracy, it is encouraging that for once revenue did not win out. Bill Russo, the deputy communications director for Biden's campaign, said in a statement.
Mm.
So he's okay with it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all right.
It's like he's not thrilled with it, but he kind of gets it. So,
yeah.
No. Yeah. It doesn't help them, but it doesn't help their opponents either.
Yeah.
No. Anyway. It's true. It's true. Yeah, but so I get. Oh, and did you also mention how like part of his statement was basically a direct "fuck you" at Zuckerberg?
Yeah. Yeah, of course that's part of it because Facebook is constantly criticized.
Yeah.
Over the way they handle their political ads,
mm-hmm.
the way they have fact checkers for ads but not political ads.
Mm. Yep.
And that sort of stuff. Or it's just like, you know what? You guys make enough money off of advertising. Mm-hmm. You could not do the political ads. You would cut off a lot of the bullshit you have to deal with.
Yeah.
But no, the money's better for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right. Well, that's the end of the series part of the show. Now we get into the entertainment news. First and foremost, it has been announced that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who, of course, were the creators and showrunners of Game of Thrones, are actually leaving Star Wars trilogy that they were working on to instead focus on Netflix projects.
Yeah, they got that big payday from Netflix and decided to focus just on that.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to point out, because there's been this story that's been going around. I think it's been kind of like it's kind of gone viral. It's like a Twitter thread where it makes up this whole sort of story about how basically Benioff and Weiss kind of bumbled their way into taking over the Game of Thrones franchise. Benioff and Weiss have both been active in the film and television industry for a while before they got on top of Game of Thrones. They were also both published authors by that point, too.
Yeah, I don't think HBO just gives anybody creative leeway on their projects like that.
Like, look, there's a lot to be said about the final season of Game of Thrones and how, it was. But these guys are professionals, okay? They have experience. This was not just something they fucking bumbled into.
Hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
You don't get that far in Hollywood screwing around.
Yeah.
I mean, you can certainly get to a certain place, but eventually you actually have to have something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Hollywood is corrupt and fucking twisted as all fuck, but there's at the end of the day, there's still a modicum of talent that's needed.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what they're going to be doing on Netflix. I wonder if they're still... So, I'm wondering, are they still doing the Confederate project? Because have they decided they're just going to move it to Netflix instead of HBO? Or... What?
Let's see. It might have been canceled.
Hmm. It's possible.
Because the wiki article says Confederate was a planned American alternate history drama.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So like I guess it got shelved, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. Anyway. Yeah,
it says, however, in August 2019, it was announced Benioff and Weiss closed a multi-million-dollar deal with Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's reported the deal wipes Confederate off HBO's books.
All right.
So maybe it's still a thing they can work on and put on Netflix.
Hmm.
Yeah.
At least as far as HBO is concerned, it's done.
They don't know.
Yeah. Okay. It says here February 29th. It was announced that closed multi-media. It was part of the deal wipes Confederate off HBO. So, yeah, I see it. Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
All right. Next up, we got a new trailer for the Star Wars series, The Mandalorian.
Yep. It's looking good.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, they do even have Lando, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's in there a little bit. Yeah, this looks like a nice, cool take on the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll watch it.
It's the part of the universe they often don't focus enough on.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not like here's another take on Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like Jesus Christ, guys. Mm-hmm. Clone Wars is the worst movie of them all.
Yeah,
like I guess this is better than that, so you can just mm-hmm. watch one. Then just go watch all of the seasons of Clone Wars and then go to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just skip over the movie because it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, yeah. And also, don't forget that, you know, Jedi Fallen Order comes out this month, too.
Oh, yeah.
Week after next, actually. On the 15th.
Yeah, October was packed, and now November is going to come and kick us in the nuts.
Yeah. Oh, man, because I've also got Death Stranding, so...
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, anyway. And let's see, what else did we get? Oh, yeah, we got a new trailer for Netflix's adaptation of The Witcher. And once you watch that trailer, you're like, yep, this is definitely The Witcher.
Yep.
Yeah, even like the little CG bit when he uses like one of his magic, like the push thing.
Mm. Yeah. Now, for those who were curious, no, this is not actually inspired by the games. This is inspired by the actual book series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which may
be a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind the games were actually a sequel to the books, so you know you're basically going to be seeing a bunch of stuff that happened before then.
Yeah.
And though, if you want your Game of Thrones for Netflix, there's orgies in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's looking that way.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely The Witcher.
Maybe not a stuffed unicorn yet, but...
oh, it'll get there. The stuffed unicorn is from the books, actually, so it'll get there.
Yeah.
And yes, he and Yennefer will definitely fuck on top of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I hope we're going to see the bathtub scene from the beginning of The Witcher 3.
Well, again, technically we could, because you know, at that point he's adopted Ciri into the Order, so
if you ever follow PC Gamer at all, that's the only image they use for any Witcher article.
Yeah.
So much so that they made that, I think... CD Projekt Red made an actual figure of that scene of him in the tub.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, that's the thing you can do, I guess.
Yep.
It's the only way to better just own it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay, so next up, you guys may have heard that there were a couple of Game of Thrones spinoffs that were getting made by HBO.
Yeah.
Well, we now know that one of them is now dead in the water. That's the one that Naomi Watts was going to be in.
Mm. Yeah, it was going to focus on the Age of Heroes and the first ever battle between man and the White Walker.
Yeah.
And they filmed a pilot over the summer.
Yeah, and the HBO was like, this ain't really working. Yeah. Instead, however, they did focus on the other one, which is called House of the Dragon. And it's actually focused on the House Targaryen.
Yep. It'll be a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Focused on House Targaryen, created by George R. R. Martin and Ryan Condal,
mm-hmm.
who worked on Colony.
Mm-hmm.
Given a formal series order on Tuesday at the end of HBO Max's formal unveiling to investors. 300 years before the events of the series, it tracks the beginnings and end of the House Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, they'll do a 10-episode first season.
Mm-hmm.
Based on Martin's book, Fire and Blood. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Miguel Sapochnik
mm-hmm.
earned an Emmy for helming the Battle of the Bastards episode. Will direct the pilot and additional episodes. Vince Gerardis will also executive produce. Sapochnik and Condal will serve as co-showrunners.
Mm-hmm.
First project stemmed from a new overall deal that Sapochnik has signed with HBO.
All right.
She'll develop and produce content for HBO and HBO Max.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I think if you were going to pick between those two particular ones, I think they probably chose the right one to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Targaryen is a pretty fascinating house, and I would like to figure out what crazy person.
And all
well,
the
I mean, you saw her brother.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. But yeah, it's the incest mostly.
If you want to show it's all about incest, here you go.
Yeah, I mean basically the Targaryens were Westeros' equivalent of the Habsburg dynasty, and that they basically just married each other to everyone to each other. So
yeah.
But yeah, and speaking of HBO Max, we now know it's coming out May 2020. going to be launching for $15 per month.
Yeah, they put out a bunch of details on this service. Yeah, May 2020, $15 a month. Given HBO costs about $15 on its own, or through HBO Now. I think they have some options that'll be, if you're already subscribed to HBO, you might get HBO Max for free. Mm-hmm. Sort of included in your price, stuff like that. Yeah, we already know about, let's see. Yeah, we already know that they got Studio Ghibli stuff mm-hmm. on there. They've announced some more things. South Park is coming to them. They're doing CW, work mm-hmm. with CW. Greg Berlanti is producing two new shows for HBO Max, DC mm-hmm. comic shows. Mm-hmm. Green Lantern, an anthology series called Strange Adventures. Service will also be the exclusive streaming source for all new Warner Brothers dramas produced for the CW network, mm-hmm. beginning with the fall 2019 season that features the premieres of Batwoman. Mm-hmm. And, oh, God, they got another Riverdale spinoff no called idea. Katie Keene.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, they have. Let's see. Doctor Who is going to be on HBO Max.
Yep.
Yeah, when HBO Max arrives in spring 2020, it'll become the exclusive online home
mm-hmm.
for the Time Lord. All 11 seasons of the modern Doctor Who series available at launch. Future seasons will also stream exclusively on HBO Max, arriving on the service sometime after they made their debut on BBC America. Yeah. The next article we have will have more of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. No word on whether HBO Max will offer streaming video in 4K or HDR. Yeah, like lots of details like that we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some DC Universe stuff that'll appear on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doom Patrol will be on there. As well as DC Universe.
Yeah.
So it presents like a weird thing that's going on.
Yeah, because DC has their own thing going on.
Street yeah, Marvel. So maybe they'll fold it into it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I don't know. But,
mm-hmm. but yeah, so I'm looking at some of the stuff that they've got lined up. Yeah, a
list
up.
Of all their original programming.
Yeah, one of the first big one I see is Adventure Time. They're actually going to be making four, specials. I guess, yeah, specials in Adventure Time. Let's see, what else have they got?
They got a bunch of kid stuff is beginning stuff. But they got a Gremlins show.
Mm-hmm.
Gremlins, it's 1920s Secrets of the Mogwai.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of about the origins of the Mogwai.
Mm-hmm.
And be less nightmarish.
Yeah, there's also, let's see, we also got Little Ellen, which is basically a cartoon that features a 7-year-old Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, that's good timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jellystone, there's a Hanna-Barbera
mm-hmm.
Thing with Yogi, Boo Boo, Snagglepuss, Adamant, Huckleberry Hound, Jabberjaw, and Megilla Gorilla, and others.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that stuff.
Yeah, let's see. We've also got
Looney Tunes cartoons are doing.
Yeah, they're making actual 11-minute episodes. They're making 80 new ones. Of them.
Nice. Yep.
So mm-hmm. that'll be cool. Let's see, Mecha Builders. Features
spin-off of Sesame Street.
favorite Sesame Street characters as heroes in a robot animation style. So anime Sesame Street.
I am confused and intrigued.
Yeah.
The monster at the end of the story is a Grover show.
Yeah. I actually had this kid's book back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Basically the whole story, it's called The Monster at the End of This Book. And the idea is that Grover hears that there's a monster at the end of this book and he's absolutely terrified of it. So he basically does everything he possibly can to keep you from turning to the next page.
Yeah. So that'd be interesting to do in animated form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, there's also the Not Too Late show with Elmo.
Yeah. Oh, it's Elmo doing a late night talk show, but not too late. Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's only 3 years old.
Yeah. Of course, they're going to have Sesame Street
mm-hmm.
doing that. The whole deal. Let's see. Oh, they got a section for Gen Z programming. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
15 Minutes of Shame, which is a documentary that Monica Lewinsky
mm-hmm.
Is working on about public shaming.
Yeah.
Which that's a good person to have lead that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she kind of got the short end of the straw on that one.
Yep, DC Superhero High. So that's one of the new DC shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a half-hour comedy, executive produced by Elizabeth Banks. Follows a group of students experiencing the fun and drama of adolescence at a boarding school for gifted kids. So X-Men, but DC. Mm-hmm. Teens are just trying to navigate the pressures of high school, but none of them realize that someday they will become legendary DC heroes. Mm-hmm. So be that convenience plot device of, you know, Bruce Wayne and Kal-El and these other kids hanging out together before they become the superhero forms.
Yeah. Let's say
Gossip Girl's returning.
Yep.
For new season stuff.
There's a series based on Grease.
And Grease Ride Out High.
Wow.
It's still the 50s, a world that rocks with big musical numbers, new original songs, peer pressure at high school, the horrors of puberty, roller coaster of life in middle America with a modern sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works.
You can't set a show in the 50s and then have moderns. No, that doesn't work.
No.
There will be less racism. Yeah. Let's see, Green Lantern.
Yeah, they're doing a Green Lantern show.
So that'll be cool to see. Probably a lot better than the movie.
Yeah.
That's a pretty low bar to get over. So.
Yeah. Strange Adventures. Yeah, we talked about that. Explorers Close Ended. Morality tales about the intersecting lives of mortals and superhumans.
Mm-hmm.
Tuned Out. Wait. Okay, that's not what I thought it was, but that's executive produced by Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah.
Half-hour hybrid live-action animated comedy in development for HBO Max. Things get a little too cartoony for Mac when he starts seeing iconic cartoon characters. Okay, it is Looney Tunes. Mm. They're not but just there for laughs. They're helping him get through a very rough patch in his life.
So basically, it's that fucking anti-drug special from the 80s, but...
Cartoon All-Stars?
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was mind-blowing as a kid, being like, wait, they can do that?
Yeah.
They can put all these characters together?
Mm-hmm.
Then you also watch it now, and it's like, man, they're really fucking going off the deep end about marijuana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get other stuff, but sure. Unpregnant, Dead from the Young Adult, Harper Collins novel, the same name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See adult stuff. Let's see what's here. The Boondocks. Yeah, they're making two new seasons and a 50-minute special with Aaron Magruder. So that should be pretty cool.
Say, got a documentary about Anthony Bourdain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, there's Doom Patrol they mentioned here. Another Ellen DeGeneres show, Ellen's Home Design Challenge.
Dune, the Sisterhood.
Huh.
Oh,
going to be about the Bene Gesserit.
I am very intrigued.
Yeah, Denis Villeneuve is the director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's also directing the upcoming film. So he's apparently doing all of the Dune.
Yeah. See, we got a four-part documentary called Equal about the origin stories of the modern gay rights movement. So basically, it starts before Stonewall.
Yeah.
Which I always have to remind people, Stonewall was a fucking riot, and sometimes that's what's necessary.
Yeah.
So don't let fucking people, like, guilt trip you about the idea that, you know, about fucking property damage. Seriously.
Yeah.
Next up, let's see, what do we got? Expecting Amy.
Oh, they got the Genlock on here, the Rooster Teeth mech show.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
They got Genlock. The show's actually really good, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Let's see.
Heaven's Gate. That's a four-part series that explores the infamous cult.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, have I ever talked about them before? That might be a random factoid for a day. Basically, just put it in a small little snippet. Heaven's Gate was this weird alien UFO cult that thought that there was a spaceship behind Hale-Bopp's comet, and they thought that they had to kill themselves to get on it. So they all committed mass suicide.
All wearing Nikes, I think it was. That was a crazy time in the 90s.
Yeah.
They were actually one of the first religious fringe religious groups to really harness the power of the internet.
Yeah.
So much so that the old website is still around.
Sure.
They're not, but they're still.
Let's see.
They got a show called The Hose.
Yeah.
By Bin Ho and Hu Ho.
Yeah.
A couple immigrated from Vietnam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of reality shows.
Yeah. Let's see. Let them all talk. Story of a celebrated author who takes a journey with some old friends to have some fun and heal old wounds. Mm. Ain't it?
Oh, Ridley Scott has a epic serialized sci-fi series called Raised by Wolves. Centers on two androids tasked with raising human children on a mysterious virgin planet. This burgeoning colony of humans threatens to be torn apart by religious differences. The androids learn that controlling the beliefs of humans is a treacherous and difficult task.
Hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like a Ridley Scott show.
It also sounds... Huh?
I think that's based on a book.
Might be.
Hmm.
Certainly sounds interesting, though.
Yeah.
There's an Issa Rae show called Rap Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Half-hour comedy series that follows three women, a hip-hop duo, and their hustler manager trying to make it in Miami's music industry.
Let's see. We got a documentary called Persona, which is about the origin story of personality testing.
Hmm.
Which actually, I gotta admit, I'll watch that because I've always been wondering why the fuck we have those in like job applications.
Look at this. Stand-up specials presented by Conan O'Brien. Five new comedy specials include two hosted by Conan, showcasing short sets from multiple up-and-coming comics, as well as curated one-hour-long sets from three additional comedians.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay.
They're putting that HBO and Warner Brothers money behind it.
Yeah.
So.
I kind of wish they'd do Mad TV again. But, you know.
I mean, they could, but, I mean, how much of the old cast would be willing to sign up for it?
How much of the old cast is still around? That would be the question.
Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of them are still around, but they're all, like, they've all gone on. A lot of the, like, really famous ones have gone on to more prosperous careers after that.
True.
Yeah, His Dark Materials is on this list.
Oh, yeah, we all knew that one was coming.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Lovecraft Country, based on a 2016 novel by Matt Ruff.
Let's see what else we got here.
Perry Mason, doing the Perry Mason show.
Again?
I think there's they've done there's been at least five versions of that.
Yeah, this one has Matthew Reeves, John Lithgow, Tatiana Maslany, a bunch of other people. Stephen Root. Robert Patrick. Okay.
Okay, here's an interesting one. The Plot Against America. I don't know how many people know that. That is actually a book that was written by Philip Roth years ago. Basically, it's an alternate history where Charles Lindbergh becomes president. And, well, if you know anything about Charles Lindbergh, you know what that entails.
Sounds kind of fascinating.
Fascism?
Yeah.
Also, Charles Lindbergh was, like, really hella anti-Semitic, so...
Hmm.
And Philip Roth himself was Jewish, so... Yeah, you can imagine.
Yep.
See, what else we got?
And they got their library highlights for the existing stuff, like Barry and Big Little Lies, Chernobyl, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Movies they're going to have A Star is Born, Aquaman, Bridesmaids, Crazy Rich Asians, Crazy Stupid Love. It's all in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Pikachu, Fantastic Beasts, Glass, It Chapter 2, Joker, Lego Movie 2, Love Actually, Madagascar, Notting Hill, Rio, Shazam, Smallfoot, The Town, Us, War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so looks like we got a good lineup there.
Yeah.
They definitely got me interested, I'll say that much.
Yeah,
the $15 a month is not...
Yeah, that's really a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to compete, you're going to want to, like, do what Netflix does, which is have, like, grades of how much you want to pay for.
Hmm. Yeah, let me pay 20 cents less and not get real time with Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Just the Bill Maher free version of the of the service. So
20 cents more and not get that. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, a comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got links for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or really any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. There's like a good 6-to-1 chance we're on there. And if we're not, just wait a few minutes. We'll be on there then. Anyway, so with that being said, I have been your host of the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Lipo DiNofo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logie, good night.